Good evening and welcome.
Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to have you here with me tonight. You know, I don't start my show off without giving honor to him, to our Father. And Father, so we're just going to go into prayer. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you for who you are. You are just fun. You are so awesome, Lord. Even when we're not awesome to ourselves, you are. I thank you for coming into my life. I thank you for taking me out of the miry clay. I thank you for cleansing me and washing me whiter than snow. I thank you for birthing this ministry, Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. And I thank you for all the lives that you have designed for it to reach and to touch. Thank you for using me as your vessel and your instrument of prayer. And I thank you for all those who will be tuning in tonight, whether it's live or whether it be on demand. I thank you for just reaching the areas of Canada, Lord, Haiti, Lord, Philippines, Lord, Barbados, Guyana, Nigeria, and the United States. I just thank you for my special guest that's coming on tonight. I thank you for, because you are just her testimony alone. This lets me know that you are so awesome. You are so magnificent, and there is no other God like you. And Lord, as we go into this subject tonight, I ask you to decrease me, Lord, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in and move and minister and to speak, that whatever we say or do, Lord, is a representation of you. I thank you and I ask you to forgive me and forgive all of us of any sins that we've committed, thought, word, or deed. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. Amen. So as I said, welcome to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. This is Fuchina Kirkendall. And like I said, it's always a privilege. It's always a pleasure. And I will not lie to you, I was having some technical difficulties getting on the air because for some reason my laptop is just doing its own little thing. But thank God for iPads, that's what I would say. So I just thank you as I go on tonight and we talk about our subject, Stop Making Mountains Out of Molehills. This subject is very personal, as a personal testimony for myself. And I'm so looking forward to my guest tonight. I cannot begin to describe how I feel about this woman of God. But if anyone can share this testimony with me, I know that she can. And her name is Minister Gloria Wallace. And I look forward to bringing her on in a few minutes. But I just want to talk a little bit about stop making mountains out of molehills. Before I get started, if you know anyone who could be blessed by this show tonight or blessed by this message, please invite them. They're more than welcome to tune in. They can call in and listen to the show at 914-338-1552. That number again is 914-338-1552. I want to thank you all for those who have been sending me emails. I cannot begin to tell you how appreciative I am of your support. Some of you all don't like getting on the air, and I get that. But I love the idea, the fact that you open up and you're such an inspiration to me and what God has called me to do. And without further ado, let's move forward with this. And I take this particular topic very personally. Darman, I'm not sure if you all are familiar with him, but he sends out a lot of inspirational and quotes out there. And when I read this last week, it just hit a home run for me. And as Bailey states, and I quote, overthinking may be the biggest cause of your unhappiness. It creates problems in your head that may not even exist in real life. When I tell you I'm a testimony of that, I am a living testimony of that. And sometimes, and I'm just going to go by me, you all know that this show is about real talk, real people, real scenarios, and I don't mind being transparent about mine. And I know there are times when I will be in a situation where someone can say something to me, and I'll start overthinking it and thinking, well, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, thinking, what kind of intentions did they have when they made that particular statement? And I find myself going in a little tizzy where I'm overthinking it. I can't sleep. And it's like I'm trying to reach out because, one, I don't get the full nuts and bolts of the matter. I just automatically assume it. So as I was doing my research for the show tonight, I found some very interesting information, and it just hit it on a nail on the head for me. So I don't know if it's just me, but I want to know, you know, are you one of those people that sometimes you just overanalyze things, or maybe you're overthinking things? And I come to find out you the word yourself so much and find out that the situation wasn't as bad as you made it out to be in your mind, because sometimes we get trapped in the prison of our own mind. And if we're not careful, you know, we'll end up making poor decisions and poor judgment. I went online tonight as I was preparing for the show, and I wanted to look up, you know, overthinking. You all know I love Google. And I went and I saw overthinking. One of the meanings I got was to think about something too much and for too long. And I started looking more into it, like, you know, what are some of the signs of overthinking, or some of the things that the effects of overthinking? And it leads to, according to Forbes, .com, it leads to anxiety and depression. And another thing I wanted to find out is, why do people overthink things? And one of the things I saw was three, actually, is because mainly sometimes they just have too many things on their mind, guilty, and unable to prioritize. Some of them are worried about the rest of their hard work, or basically what people perceive of them. Three, and unable to accept the truth of their own failure. Now, I got that one from Quora, Quora.com. And honestly, I have learned that in my life, when I overthink things or when I see something, I'm very guilty of, well, what do they mean by that? Because I'm always thinking someone has an ulterior motive when it comes to me and my life. So that's one of the things I think about, or I overly think about. And then I do find myself, you know, not being able to sleep or not even, but I'm just curious to hear different perspectives tonight regarding this. The effects of overthinking is very interesting to me because it's so true. So true. And some of the things I saw on Quick, K-W-I-K, learning.com, is some of the things they can do when you overthink something is it affects your sleep. You can't sleep. You find yourself so worried about it. Your brain, to a point that the brain is unable to shut down, you know, as your thoughts, because your thoughts keep running through your mind. It keeps running through your circuits. So it's hard for you to calm yourself down when we get in that stage of sleep, that stage of sleep, to even get to that REM level, which is that final level of sleep, the dream level. But as a result of it, it leads to sleep it can lead to sleep deprivation. And as a result of sleep deprivation, another effect it could do, it could lead to health problems. You know, it could lead to affecting your memory, your learning, and cognitive abilities. So overthinking too much can also lead to poor judgment and decision-making. Now, let me just go into a little story. You know, I found myself in a situation where I was overthinking so much. I had already created something totally different from what the person was trying to indicate to me. But I, as far as I'm concerned, and you know what's interesting? It was real. Not real in reality, but it real in my reality, to a point where it got to a point where when I brought it, finally brought it up, it was like, what are you talking about? This was nothing compared to what I assumed it would be. And I think when it comes to that, we just have to be mindful when we overthink, because it can lead to some bad situation. It can also lead to friendship ending. It can lead to relationship ending. It could just be very detrimental if you're not careful with it. You know, there is something interesting about the mind. It's a power, the imagination and everything, it's a very powerful tool. And it's actually one of the places that the enemy, and you all know that I'm a child of God, so I will profess my Christianity at any time, but it is one of those powerful things that if you don't have control over, it will definitely control over you. And the enemy loves that. He just loves to do that. And so we just going to talk about that tonight and talk about some of the things of, you know, what causes people to overthink, and then also talk about some ways on how to overcome it or how to tackle it in the end. But one of the things I found on quicklearning.com is how do you know if you're overthinking something? One of the things I saw was, wondering if you matter to people or your partner or your husband, but your partner, you know, or people in general, wondering if you matter. And then you go into doubting people's feelings for you. You know, what did they really mean? What were they really trying to say regarding this? And then I saw doubting long-term compatibility. As a result of it, you don't know if you two are really going to make it. You, and you know, all because you got this whole little fantasy in your mind that's just far from your actual reality. So another thing I saw is sabotaging relationships. Wow. Because sometimes we in your own false reality, your mind is set. And if you're stubborn like I am, you know, you get your mind set on something, and it's going to take a lot to convince me otherwise. But I thank God that who he is and how he has come into my life to show me a different way when it comes to self-sabotaging and overthinking things. Another thing I saw was reading it to people's words and actions. Sometimes it could be something so innocent and we done made it more than what it should have been. And sometimes it's just something so simple, but because we get overactive and overthinking it, you know, we just find ourselves in a situation that we really don't need to be in, and one that could have been avoided if we just took our time. And we're going to talk more about how we're going to, you know, how people can tackle that. And then one of the main things you find is that you end up missing out on so many good things in your life, like blocking your, basically blocking your blessings, or missing out on, or you just created missed opportunities for yourself. And it's just very, very interesting how the mind works, because it's a powerful tool, but it's the only place that the enemy has free reign. So you have to be very careful, and you have to check you first before you could check anyone else. So as I am getting ready to bring my guest on tonight, and we're going to talk about, you know, one, you know, overthinking things. Two, you know, some of the things that cause it, as I mentioned earlier. And then also we're going to work collectively together to talk about how to overcome, not only in the, I don't want to say secular stuff, but there's a spiritual side and then there's a non-spiritual side, because I realize not everyone has professed Christ in their life, but there is another, you know. But either way, Christ is going to be the way, okay? But as we move forward, I have introduced you to Miss Gloria Wallace from California. I want to thank you, Minister Wallace, first of all, for accepting my invitation. Thank you so much for joining us on Chronicles.
I love you.
Oh, I love you. I love you so much. I love you
so much.
And I know you've had the opportunity, I hope you had the opportunity to listen to the show up until the point I brought you in. But it's so, this subject matter is just so
awesome.
It's intense.
Subject. Yes.
It's intense because even if, you know, believers and non-believers, we all go through it. You know, we all go through that paranoia. We all go through that, well, did they really mean this or what did they mean? And then, honestly, we create our own facade that's totally opposite of what it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Totally
that is
opposite
so true.
Of what it is. Totally
so
opposite of what it is. I would love to get your, I'd love you to share some light on that.
Well, I just want to first say, it's an awesome topic to be thinking of, and it's one that is very, very prevalent right now in so many ways. With the pandemic going on and people being shut in and locked down.
Yes.
I'm one. I have gained so much weight, I cannot tell you. And so, I've gained weight, and it's like, okay, but you need to get up and start walking again. I used to walk every day. And it's like, okay, I need to get up and I need to start walking. But I don't feel like it today. But it's hot today.
Right.
And so we come up with all these procrastinating excuses. I was speaking to a young lady just today about her marriage, and God moved on her to do some things in ministry. And she was asking me, she says, have you ever known what to do, know how to do, but you just don't have the desire to do it? And I, so making a mountain out of a molehill, oh my God, this is so, you did one, girl, you picked one. You picked one for real.
That
I tell
God
you,
be the glory.
Whether it's in God or just right off the top, you know what I'm saying? Because I tell people a lot of times we got to come out of the sanctuary of our mind.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to deal with people on a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, and she is so overly cautious about her grandbaby. And she called me 4 or 5 times a day telling me little incidental things. And she was stricken with Parkinson's a while back. And so a lot of things she's not able to do because she has accepted what Parkinson's could do to her body. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so she locks herself down in this life of disability. And she wants somebody to crawl in there with her and give all you got. I'm like, girl, you need to get up. You need to do some things. You need to get, she worries about her hair. And I tell her, I said, you know, you ain't got nowhere to go. You ain't got nothing to do. So if you start combing your hair today and you don't finish until tomorrow, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. But you got to start doing something. And that's the biggest problem for Sheena. We don't want to start.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. We'll write it down. But we don't want to start. And that begins the whole thing. You have to start somewhere to do something.
Interesting that you say that, because even when you're being when you're overthinking things and you get so bombarded all these negative thoughts, all these negative things, you just don't want, it's like it drains you in every level, not just emotionally, not just mentally, but spiritually as well, that you know, you're handicapping yourself and to think it can't get no better than this, or thinking, well, why do it anyway? You're not going to get nothing out of it, you know. But now those are tricks. We all know those are tricks, but you know, it's just someone that's just something trying to keep you from focusing or moving forward to what, you know, to your success. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can do it, and we have control over that, you know.
Yes.
And it's, people just have to be very, 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 very mindful when it comes to that and something of that nature, because if you're not careful, you've been placed yourself in a position that, one, you wanted, how did I get myself here? Or two, Lord, if you just get me out this time, I promise I won't do it again. And guess what? You go back and do it again. You go back and do it again. You know,
yes.
So you have to be mindful, because it's all about a mindset.
That's
really
right.
What overthinking is about. It is about a mindset. And I have to say this, Minister Walls, that I know for me, I was the queen of overthinking. And I was the queen of it. I mean, you just couldn't tell me. Once I had it in my mind was set, and it you couldn't tell me it was anything different than what I thought it was, only to find out I was far from the truth. I mean, literally far from the truth. And sometimes I used to verbalize it, and people be looking at me like, this girl is cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. And I understood it. It wasn't until I got older I understood it. Even up until this day, it is still a challenge for me, just not as much anymore, because what I've learned to do is how to handle when I become in that overcritical or overthinking state, you know. And if you're not, like I said, if you're not careful, you know, that enemy will put something in your mind, got you thinking one thing. I mean, have you walking like a dog and talking like a cat? It's just, you have to be careful. You have to be
very,
that
is so
very
true.
Careful.
That is so true.
Yeah, you have to be very, very careful.
We came into some situations at the church that I'm a member of a few months ago. And so Pastor was asking us about suggestions and write them down, and he was anxious to hear what everybody had to offer. So in the 10 days that I had leading up to this meeting, I was writing stuff down. But I was telling myself, you ain't going to be able to say that. And, you know, you're not going to be received on this one. And, you know, so many of them, they don't want to do this, so they're not going to accept it. And it put me in a mindset to when I did get to the meeting, I did not deliver what I had the way it was supposed to be delivered. And so when it was not received, then I went away with my feelings hurt. And God had to pick me up. He said, but you didn't say what I told you to say. I didn't do what he told me to do. You know what I'm saying? So I had built this wall of rejection, and I got myself all set up to be hurt, and the hurt manifested, and I had nobody to blame but myself. And so I count myself better than I was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I wouldn't have said nothing. I would have totally talked myself out of it. But we still have to be mindful to deliver, to do, to be, to say what we're supposed to do, be, or say the way we're supposed to do, be, or say. Because that's all a part of it. The biggest thing I find out is the fear that goes along with the stepping out. The fear of the, because 9 times out of 10, when you come to a situation where you overthink it, sometimes it's new territory to you, and you just don't know what's on the other side. And fear will help you daydream. It will keep you daydreaming about the wrong part of it, the negative part. So that's a big quality. Fear is it's real. I read a book. In fact, I taught a class a few years ago out of this book, The Battlefield of the Mind.
Yes.
And I can't today remember the writer of that book. Was it Joyce Meyer? I believe it was. And the things that were brought out in that book, and the worksheets that she had to go along with the workbook. And I was teaching it to high school students. Because if you can get them to think, your heart and your spirit have no trouble with God. But your mind is an open field of choice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just an open field. The devil can wreak havoc in your mind, and you don't bend when you think it's the devil and it's you. You think it's you and it's the enemy. And it's just an open field of crazy thoughts, and they're subject to whatever your surroundings are. And so we really have to take charge of our mental capacity. And like you were saying, everybody's not spiritual. You're right. We have to take charge of our mental capacity just to live a right life, so we don't put ourselves in different situations and you know, whether it's running a traffic light or dealing drugs or whatever it is. We have to keep a correct mindset to make it through these things. Because that make, wow, a mountain is something. When you figure you start with a molehill and you make a mountain out of it, a mountain is a pretty big thing. It's
yes.
A pretty big thing. Yes.
Yes. And, you know, you said something earlier that sparked something with me. I'm trying to think what you, about the mind, you know, like you said, Joyce, that's an awesome and phenomenal book. I love that book.
Yes,
I love that book. I love her. I like a lot of her stuff, but that Battlefield of the Mind is definitely one of my top books.
That's a powerful book. Yes.
Definitely, yes. But it does start with the mindset, which goes into, you know, talking about ways people can, you know, overcome or tackle
mm-hmm.
the emotions.
Right.
But, you know, you just, like I said, the imagination is a strong tool.
It really is. Oh, boy.
And if you ain't careful, just like I said, you be walking like a dog and talking like a cat. You know, you will be doing that. And then it gets to a point where I think a lot on, and I can't say for everybody, but I could just say for me, mine came from some sort of insecurities as well, you know,
yes.
coming from the background of molestation and stuff. So I had to deal with a lot of that as well. And
mm-hmm.
but always wondering, you know, what people were thinking, you know, overthinking what people are thinking, because sometimes people
yeah.
ain't even thinking about you. You thinking about them more than they thinking about you. So
true,
I found
too.
That out. Yeah, it's true. They ain't even thinking
mm-hmm.
about you, but you just overwhelmed, you know, with thinking what they're thinking or trying to come up with ways of what you think they're thinking. So you start telling yourself what they thinking, and you have not even talked to them. To find out
okay.
what's going on.
Yes.
You know, you have to be very mindful of that. You know, that's what I've learned. And I just have to say that, you know, when we go into, you know, what are the ways to combat that? Before I do that, I do want to remind you all, this is Suchina Kirkendall, and I'm coming to you from Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. And always a pleasure. You know, I never do this, but I need to start doing it. You know, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, I'd love for you to follow me. I find out that I have viewers and listeners from all over the country, but I never ask people to follow the page. So if you're interested, if you feel the ministry is a blessing for you, please follow the page at www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Yes, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll take you directly to my site. So I will definitely, and I also have a Facebook page called Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I want to thank you because a lot of people are starting to like it. So
okay.
I just thank God for it. I really, truly thank God for the opportunity to be here and to be used as a vessel and just to be transparent. I mean, that's
yes.
the only way I know, you know, is to be transparent because I
yes.
just want people to know there are other people out there who are going through the same thing that you're going through. And you just, and I don't mind using myself as that fishbowl. You know, come on. You know, no one's here to judge. I try to create an environment that's comfortable for anyone, whether you are a believer or a non-believer, I'm just letting you know everyone is welcome. So if you know anyone who wants to chime in, please, by all means, have them come contact us, you know, or, you know, I do have a email address. Let me go ahead and say that as well. And that is coafwoman@gmail.com. And that's coafwoman@gmail.com. So all I'm saying is I thank you because I have the pleasure and the privilege of having Minister Gloria Wallace on the line with me tonight. And it's just a pleasure, especially when we have an opportunity to just put it out there, you know. And this is our bonding time. This is actually our bonding time. So I really, really appreciate I really appreciate it because when two or more gather together, there Christ will be. And even not just, you know, even as unbelievers, just when we get together and you see people with like-minded, you are welcome to come in. There is no judgment here. I mean, there is no judgment. I've always left it open for anyone to be free and free to do whatever they want. But one thing I did not do, I did not invite people to come in. If you're interested and you have something you would like to share and partake in this, a chat tonight or podcast tonight, you're more than welcome to do. Just text me. I ask that you text me and text me at 678-887-9441. Once again, my number is 678-887-9441. And if you want to chime in, just type chime me in. And if you just want to share, you could just share by sending your text, and then I'll be more than happy to read it on your behalf. I don't have to identify you. That's not a problem if you don't want that. But I just wanted to put that out there because I am grateful for those of you who take the time to stay here and continue to support. I really appreciate it because there are so many big things on the horizon for Chronicles for the Kingdom. So as we move forward with that, you know, it goes on to, you know, we talked about, you know, what overthinking is, some of the effects of it. How do you know if someone's overthinking? But let's go into how we can overcome some of the things that we can overcome. And I got this from psychology.com, and I started reading over it, and I was like, wow, these are some of the things that I started putting into motion too. You know, as I told people before, you know, it's nothing wrong with going to therapy. If you feel like you have a situation and it's past, sometimes, no offense, you can go to pastors and stuff like that, but if they have not been through what you've been through, sorry, they can tell you everything about the Word of God, they can do whatever, but if they can't tackle that root issue, then sometimes you have to go and get that extra help. And I know I shared with you all some weeks ago that I decided to go back into therapy. And it's one of the best decisions I've made in my life because I haven't been in therapy for years. But I just saw the way some things was going on in my life, and I was like, you know what? I need to address this. I don't like having anything having control over me. It's a stronghold. So when you have strongholds, they're past you. They're past you. So you need to tackle that. And I'm one of those people, I like to hit things dead on. Just dead on. Let's go ahead and tackle. Let's go ahead and deal with this because one thing I'm not going to have is the enemy trying to take control over me. Now, we just not having that, especially when God gives me more authority over him. No, we're not having that. So as we talk about, I'm sorry, Minister Wallace, were you going to say something?
No, I'm just totally, I am in total agreement with what you're saying. I've been in therapy before. There's absolutely nothing wrong with getting somebody else to help you in your situation. And I tell people I'm to the point now, if I got to stand out on the corner and talk to the light post, I don't care. I don't have no shame or embarrassment in me. I need some help. And so whatever I got to do to get the help, wherever I got to go to get the help, I'm going there, and get what I need and come on back and
exactly.
do what I need to do. Yes, yes.
Exactly.
A lot of people, that's the reason they have this doom and gloom cloud of depression, and they come mm-hmm. to suicide, and they come to thoughts of, just punishing themselves because
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to say help. They
yep.
don't know where to go. They think everybody looking at, oh, girl, I thought she was so full of the Holy Ghost, but she doing need a psychiatrist. Well, you need one too. But it's nothing wrong with seeking help.
Exactly.
Nobody does it by themselves. Nobody does it by themselves. And oh my God, that is so real. That is, my mother had an issue with help. And
mm-hmm.
it took me years to get her to accept the fact it's nothing wrong with it. And she was chronically depressed. And then later on, she was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. But I thank God
wow.
I was able to get her to accept the help, okay? And that's
right.
what, oh my God, that just touches my soul. Because people just don't understand. They think folks are going to talk about them, look at them crazy. And then they go off and they can't handle the little stimples of life that they're faced with, and they blow up into mountains. And then
yes.
they feel separated and segregated. And then it just blows out. Then they're ostracized, and they shut themselves off. And it's one thing the devil wants all of us to do, and that's to separate us from people that can help us. And
exactly.
he don't want us to get no help. He wants us to
exactly.
be off by ourselves, so we don't hear anything but him whispering in our ear.
Exactly.
So, oh my God, I just love this topic, girl. I love it.
Yes, yes. He'd be right there whispering, just telling you a whole bunch of stuff. And
yes. And
you know what? Bless our hearts, we'd be right there believing him.
Okay.
Because we ain't strong enough. Because he gets us, he knows he's just as patient as he want to be. And he knows
oh, yeah.
exactly how to strike. And he knows
Absolutely.
Exactly, you know, how to put little things
What's
in there,
saying?
Put little things in there, and put little things in there, and be like, boom, I got him. And I got him. You know, and
yes.
if you're not careful, you're going to get got.
Oh, yes.
Get got.
And
but you know
and
what?
That's the truth.
That's
that
right. You're going to get got. But you know what's
I
good did. About it, Minister Wallace, is that there are ways of overcoming that. You know, if you're one of those people that overthink, you know, thinking everything, you know, there are ways of combating that. And we're going to go into that now. You know, some of the ways you can go about doing it is notice when you're thinking too much. Awareness.
Mm-hmm.
First, you got to mm-hmm. come to the awareness. It's just like an addiction. You know, when I realized I was an addict, I had to admit, you know what?
That's,
I have an addiction. I need to take
that's
care
right.
of this. And overthinking
Hello.
Is the same thing. You have to come
yes.
to a point where you come and own and say, you know what? I have an issue here. And I
come
need
on.
To do, and then you need to make, now you got to make a decision. Either you're going to let it conquer you or you're going to conquer it.
Oh, conquer it.
And
you.
That's what you're going to have to come to a place where you're going to have to make a decision, you know, because every time the enemy gets to you and he gets you to, like, he's like a, you know, a puppet master and you're the puppet.
Uh-huh.
And he pulls the strings and he gets you to do, you know, things you don't need to be doing, things that,
That's right.
you know, you probably wouldn't have done if you had just took the time out, you know, or, you know, reacting versus responding to things. And now you mm-hmm. have made a bigger mess than what it actually was. You didn't
Absolutely.
Actually, there was no mess. You just created the mess. You know,
That's
and
so
don't
true.
Even realize. And now you're looking like, well, what just happened? Well, what just happened is you didn't take the time out, you know.
Okay.
So own up to it. When it gets to that point where, you know, it's just too much, and you know when it's too much. Nobody
yes.
got to tell you because you know you
okay.
better than anybody else knows you, okay?
Definitely.
You
got to
take some
Definitely.
Ownership with that. And then
yes.
the next thing you want to do is start challenging your thoughts. Where does
uh-huh.
the thought coming from? Always look at where the root of this issue comes in. And it's funny,
my father suffers from PTSD, and so do I. His is different because he was a Vietnam vet. And one of the things I've learned to tell my dad, and I say, anytime, Daddy, anytime I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself at first, you know, myself. You have to realize what your truths are. For instance, when the enemy comes in and said nobody loves you, you can come back and say, well, first of all, I know God loves me because he loves me so much that he sent his son Jesus for me. And you have to go back to this. I have a daughter, and, well, I have four brothers, but I have three now, sons and grandchildren that adores me. You have to know how to come back. You got to know when to come back. You know, it's just like playing a dozen. You know, you got to know when to come back. And that's how you're going to come to me. So you have to start challenging the authority, even when it comes to yourself, because you're your worst critic, and you know you're the one that criticizes yourself the most, more than anybody else. So you have to come back and say, you know what? I'm loved. I am blessed, and I'm highly favored. Because I remember, I think it was what's the name? Tyler Medea says, it's not what people call you, but what you answer to.
What you answer to. There you go.
What you answer to. Yes, very much. And then when you after you challenge your thoughts, one of the things you want to think about is keep focused on active problem solving. Mm. Okay. Now, I should have practiced this many years ago. But instead of just going on your own facade, creating your own little basically hallucination, fantasy, you're creating on false truth. You can't live on false truth, because your truth is only truth to you, not to what your reality actually is. So, you know, you want to start focused on after what can I do to solve this issue, or what can be done to solve this issue? Well, I'm glad you asked that. So what do you want to do after that is have some time of reflection. You want to start thinking about what got me here, what led me to this point right here where I'm thinking one thing when in fact it's another. You know, that's one of the things you want to start thinking about. And one of the things I would suggest that you do is journal. Get a journal and start writing down your thoughts. You know, and start thinking about what led to this point right here, and start thinking, could I have done this a little better, or maybe I might have received this a little different, which goes to my next point. Practice mindfulness. Be mindful, because sometimes you can get your own self in the way.
Super true.
You can get your own self in the way, you know. And sometimes you got to sit yourself down and tell your little, I call them the little people. I always tell them little people to go on vacation. They need to be evicted out. You know, you have to be mindful, because you don't. I started thinking about, you know, well, this person is, you know, their character. When you start looking at a person's character or how they are or whatever, and then you start injecting your, poison, you know, start like, wait a minute, you know what? I think I took that too wrong. You know, maybe I took that wrong. And one of the things I'll tell you about a situation I had not too long ago, as a matter of fact, maybe about a month or so ago, I just automatically assumed that it was a situation going on, not realizing I was far from the truth. But you know what I ended up doing, and what I've learned to do is learn to be quiet. Just be quiet. Stand still and let God handle it. And when I started doing that, and then I just let it play out, I'm like, wow, I'm glad I didn't say anything, because it really wasn't what I thought it was going to be or what I thought it was. It was far from it. Far from that. So going into my next point, you know, change the channel. When something comes and you want to overthink it, one, be quiet. Two, you have to learn to respond versus reacting. When you react, it's just a knee-jerk reaction, because the truth of the matter is, and then you start to say stuff, and then you start, you know, and once you do it,
it's no taking back.
That's true.
Once you say what you say, it's just like putting a nail in the board, and when you take the nail out, guess what? The hole is still there.
The hole is still there.
And so I've learned to respond and not to react. And I literally have to tell myself all the time, as I'm coming out of this, Tina, no, you're not going to go back to the old Tina now. We're going to learn to be diligent. We're going to let God handle it and know it's going to be all right. And every time I've learned to do that, I teach myself to do it, to stay focused in that area. It never, ever fails me. Never, ever fails me. So, you know, we got to notice when you're, taking accountability of the fact that there is an issue. Then you're going to challenge your thoughts, and then you're going to keep focus on active problem solving, like how do we actively get this resolved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to schedule time for reflection. Let's think about this now. Is it really the way I thought it was? Is it not really? Could I have overthought this? You know, you have to take that time of reflection, and nobody can do that for you but you. Or let me take that back. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to get another person's perspective who's outside of the situation.
Absolutely.
Because I tell my girlfriend, man, I said, now listen, you know I can talk to you about anything, right? All right, so I need to throw this scenario to you, and I need you to give me your insight. And some of the times I'll just be wrong, like, Tina, I think you might have looked at that wrong. You know, I don't think they were trying to do that, blah, 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 blah. And it's helped me out a lot. And as a result of it, I remember telling my cousin just last weekend, I said, I'm so happy I did not say anything about it because you were absolutely right on what was going on, you know. So it just goes back to the next one, practical mindfulness, being mindful, you know. And not only that, being mindful of your own actions, because you will be held accountable. You're going to be held accountable. You're going to be held accountable.
Okay, you're guilty. It's okay if you come out and you say, oh, I messed up. Messed up. That's good.
Exactly.
And change. Don't do that again. You know,
exactly.
Some people just don't want to be wrong. They just don't want to be. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. You know?
Exactly.
You got another chance. Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
But be honest with yourself. If you did it, you did it. Own up to it. And let's move on to the next thing, you know. You ain't gotta stay right there.
Exactly. You don't have to stay stuck.
That's right.
You don't have to stay stuck. And it goes back to the last point that we were talking about prior to the next one we give, is to change the channel. You know, no, we're not going to go back and do what we used to do now. We're going to go back. We're going to be mindful of what has happened from the things we've done before, and then move forward. So see what we can, how can we handle this a little better, you know, so we won't be in this situation again, you know. And to be honest with you, we're just so stuck with doing one thing. Rome was not built overnight, but you got to make a decision. I'm not going to go backwards. We're going to handle this a little better, and I'm going to enjoy my life. And it goes back to the last a point that they brought on Psychology Today, when they said, ask instead of assuming. If you're not clear on something, ask.
Mm-hmm.
I had a situation with my brother, and I was thinking all kinds of things. I said, listen, I just got to ask you something because I don't want to assume, so I want to ask you. And he said, Sheena, that was far from what you what you say it is. He said, but I'm happy that you asked about it. And I said, I'm so happy that I did too, because I like clarity, you know, and I like that with people like that with me, because my personality is different. I march to the beat of my own drum. So eclectic maybe the word for me, because I'm just different. I just see things differently than other people. And it's just not that serious for me. So if you're not sure about something I did or something I said, because if you don't know me, I'm very direct at times, so people may not receive that very well. And I was like, no, I meant what I said. You know, I didn't mean to offend you, but that's what I said, and that was my truth. This is what I meant by it, you know.
Absolutely.
So I just see that if we don't ask, you know, and if we don't assume, that'll save you a lot of issues and concerns as well, because it just leaves a situation you just don't want, you don't need to be in. You know, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. You know, it's just really not necessary, Minister Wallace. It's just not. But you know, I want to take it
over it forever.
Yes, you are absolutely right. And so I wanted to go into, you know, on a spiritual side of this. I'm talking about, you know, those who are thinking about turning their life over, those who are already done it, you know, those who are there and backslide at times, you know. But just go on a spiritual level with that, because I've, you know, even in the church, you know, I've, you know, been in situations where I thought one thing was another, but I'm also one of those people I like to ask, too, and I will confront. You know, I'd rather make a fool out of myself, you know, behind the closed doors than get and put it all out in the street and just be wrong as I don't know what, you know, and find that some situation just isn't the way it is. And I just learned that when you sometimes you have to confront, and you know, when you confront, just remember, when you confront people, you confront them in a way you want to be confronted, you know.
Yes.
And
yes.
Be mindful of people's feelings and stuff. And now people know you, then you know, it's just a matter of respect. You know, you just have to learn how to respect people. You know, the golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, you just have to keep that in mind, because I just learned that a lot of overthinking in some churches have caused some issues. You know, it caused some separations. Mm-hmm. It's caused, even with family, you know, it just caused some separations. It's caused some unnecessary havoc and division. And that's, you know what, and you know what the enemy's saying? I got you. That's what he said. I got you. That's what he was looking for. That's what he was looking for. And I'm sorry, and a lot of people won't tackle it. Like, I just know for me, I like tackling things. Let's talk about what's going on. I don't like to keep things hush-hush. I just don't like things.
Right. Me either.
I don't know. I figured you wouldn't. It just leads to so many unnecessary things, you know. Mm. And you're keeping a secret for what, you know? Especially if you want to professing God in your life. Now I'm sorry. I just can't, because now you're being hypocritical. Because I mean, the enemy. That's what the enemy wants you to do, and all you do is playing slave to him. So, you know, just be mindful of that, because you get caught up in that trap. But I wanted to leave with this on this scripture, when it talks about overthinking and worrying and anxiety, you know, and I believe it is Philippians 4:6-7. And it basically says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds, and your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's so powerful, because if we just learn to exercise that more, to say, you know, I'm just not going to do that no more. I'm not going to continue to go back to that anymore, because it's just not worth it. I'm just not going to do that. It's just not worth it. And just know that there is peace in your higher power, whether it's God for me or whether whomever for you, but there is peace when you go to that higher power. Because the truth of the matter is, with everything that's going on with COVID-19, all of the racism, everything that's going on right now, you know, having that control over you is going to be most crucial, because it could end you up in a situation you don't need to be in or you don't want to be in.
That's the truth.
But if you just set your mind on that higher power, you could never go wrong with that. You just won't go wrong with it. Another scripture I will leave you all with is it's in Exodus 14, chapter 14, verse. And it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Just learn to be still. I just know from my personal, when I've learned to just not to respond versus reacting, oh my goodness, Minister Walls, it's such a peace now that when I just let it play out, don't have nothing to say, just let it play out and just say, Lord, I put it in your hands. That's what I'm learning to do more.
Oh,
Lord, I put it in your hand. And every time I do that, the truth will reveal itself. And then I'm like, wow, it was nothing like what I thought about or what I thought it was. I'm so happy I did not say nothing.
I'm so
happy. I would have been so embarrassed. And then they'd be looking at me like, what's your problem? Are you really cool? You know? I just wanted to just get your feed, you know, as we get ready to wrap up the show tonight on what, you know, everything that we talked about tonight. And just, you know, if you could give nuggets of wisdom to someone out there who may be going through, you know, what we're talking about tonight with the overthinking, overanalyzing, and going through this lack of sleep and just finding themselves in the situation, what nugget of wisdom would you leave with them?
The one thing that comes to my heart, Gina, and I had the revelation of this a few conversations ago with somebody else, but we choose each other or we make other people our measuring stick of how we're supposed to handle things. And if I make you my measuring stick, that means how you treat me, that's how I'm going to treat you. How you see me, that's not the way we're supposed to do it. Especially those that call themselves the bride of Christ.
Right.
I can't treat you the way you treat me, especially if I don't like the way you treat me. I can't do it. I cannot use you as my measuring stick. The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? What shall separate us? What can we do that God won't love us? What can we put between God's love and us? And there's nothing, whether it's physical, spiritual, financial, whatever. He will not allow anything to come between us and his love. And if we're going to be like him, then we cannot allow anything to come between our love. You understand? And that verse, I said a few weeks ago, I don't know anybody that I don't love. I don't even think that I can, because of what God put in my life quite a few years ago. But if God can love me in spite of me, I can love anybody in spite of it, because he told me to love others like he loved me. Love ye one another as I have loved you. So God went into the drug house and got me. I don't know where he got nobody else from, but I know where God drugged me. And he drugged me kicking and screaming because I wasn't really ready to go. But he came and got me. And he put a word in my mouth when I wanted to be quiet. And he shut me up when I wanted to talk. And it's just, God, he just did it in my life. He just did it. It was certain things I was fighting him tooth and nail. I remember when I got ready, had to put cigarettes down. He gave me a word. He said, I'm getting ready to take you somewhere nicotine can't go. and I actually had a knockdown, drag-out conversation. What do my cigarettes have to do with you being God? Come on, talk to me. Mm-hmm. I done gave up everything else. Why can't I keep my cigarettes? You know, it eventually happened. Don't get me wrong. Because God has to be number one. He has to be it. And right. So when you take that verse, what shall separate us from the love of God? If we're going to be the bride of Christ, if we're going to be Christ-like, we cannot allow anything to separate us from loving others. Because that's how the world is going to know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the world is going to know that there is a God, that Jesus did come and die for us. That's how they're going to know, by the love that we show them. Because they may never, ever open a Bible, and the Word says we are it. We are the Bible that they'll never read. So that's how I live every day, Tina. I will let nothing come between me and my love for anybody. Anybody. And I can say it and not be ashamed. There's not a person that I know that I don't love. And I don't think I can meet anybody that I cannot love. Because God loves me. That's just who I am. And it didn't happen overnight. You gotta trust the process. But
Yes, ma'am. You said a mouthful. And I was thinking I'm actually gonna just from me knowing you and a word cannot express how I feel about you, and because our spirit just connected automatically. So I want to thank you for taking time out your busy schedule for coming with me tonight. Found a woman, and I pray that this has been a blessing for those who are listening, whether it's live or whether it's on demand, because I get quite a few people that listen to the show on demand. I just thank you once again for just being a part of this. To God be the glory. Happy was able to finally do something. I'm just hoping that in the future you will definitely accept any other invitation, God, because I always let God lead me. You know, when it comes to a subject, I'm like, okay, who do you want me to, you know, go reach out to? So I just think it would be perfect.
This is an awesome one,
subject.
Girl.
Yes, I knew this would be an awesome one. Yes,
and I promise this won't be the last time. I'll be back.
Yes, ma'am. I was hoping to hear that. Even if you don't, God will prompt you either way. So
this won't be the last time.
Yes, ma'am. So this is Fichina Kirkendall. You're tuning into Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I just wanted to let you know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a good night.
Good night.